Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
Chris's cuteness aggression is out of control.
Yeah.
It's screaming, it's tackling, it's chasing. I have to go like, I do full Anne Hathaway, like calma. Like gentle, because he'll come up to me and he'll be like, and I'm like, chill out. Just like, you don't need to like grab my bones, literal bones.
Oh my God. It is a thing. Steven has that with our cat too, Scampi. And I'm like, he's only got three legs. You can't shake him like that. You can't do it.
Chris is like choking Dimitri.
Yeah.
You know what Dimitri looks like. He looks like a snowman come to life.
Yeah.
Like,
he does. He does look like
a baby snow leopard from the North Pole. And the roundest white face. We'll share pics.
Yeah.
But like, to like be, I know it's not hurting him, but to choke, to be like, he's like, oh yeah, you fucking little fuck. That's what he says.
Even the suggestion of choking is violent.
It's violent.
Yeah.
To also be like, you fucking little fuck. Like, I'm like, what are you?
I know.
What's going on in that little mind? Like, their synapses are just, their brain is lit up.
Yeah. Yeah. That is it. It's something that we don't have the understanding of. It's a biological response, it feels like.
It's the red emoji. You know the red monster emoji?
Yes, it is exactly that. The swearing one.
Yes.
Yeah. I know. They're so scary. Do you believe in pheromones?
That's an incredible question. I've never been asked it.
Yeah.
For you to take it as a kind of from a spiritual standpoint is very interesting. I like the way your mind works.
Thank you.
Maybe?
Yeah.
I did just buy Miss Dior roll-on, so I feel this is top of mind for me right now.
Yes, of course.
$56 from Sephora.
Oh my God. I like Miss Dior.
I do too.
It's really nice. It's a classic scent, I think.
Not bad. Stays on, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But do you believe in pheromones?
I had just written a story on it. But do you know that there's like no, it is spiritual because there's sort of no scientific evidence in how they work in humans. Like, we know for sure 100% animals have pheromones.
Yes.
And they interact and it's like how they find a mate. And in humans, it's sort of like, okay, probably we do. It probably interacts with it. And there are all those perfumes that are like supposed to be like pheromone enhancing. But the science, there's actually no backing in like how it works. It's like a completely mysterious process.
That's so interesting. It's like homosexuality.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, what a pivot. No, but like a transgenderism can be explained scientifically from like it's the chromosomes, right? There's like a missing chromosome. Homosexuality has not been scientifically broken down in any way, which is why I think there's been some contention about like LGBTQ, like the fact that transgenderism is like kind of lumped in with like lesbian bisexuality, you know, and it should kind of be standalone. Gender is its kind of own thing. And then sexuality being a completely different part of the equation because it's like a spectrum, but it's also unable to be defined. Nailed down. Yeah, defined.
That's interesting because that's also one where it's like it's all over nature.
Right.
Like, I mean...
Oh my God, yes. Yeah. The dolphins. They're not straight.
The seahorses that are changing gender at will.
Yeah.
Whenever they feel like it. It's amazing. It is amazing. Yeah. I like to think about the unexplained. It's nice.
I did hear a thing that's like, if you like the smell of your partner's sweat.
Yeah.
There's extended longevity there for the relationship.
Yeah.
I don't know how true that is.
I've heard that too. And I think it makes sense to me. That's the closest I think we come to pheromones.
I'm kind of just like, take a shower.
I know. I know. Yeah. That's true too.
Has anything been inspiring you this week?
Oh my God. You know, it's hard to say. I wonder when.
I've been thinking about it a lot, actually. I think I come in so unprepared so often.
Yeah, me too.
That this week I have been making little notes. Mental notes.
Okay, you begin and then I'll riff after.
Okay, well, I have several, actually.
Oh my God, amazing.
One that is more cut and dry, clear inspiration, and one that just brought like a little bit of joy, a little bright spot to my life. I interviewed Emma Roberts. For a cover story. We get in this interview and I know that she has like a production company, and I actually met with her partner. This is months and months ago off the back of the story that I wrote, and I kind of brought this up early in the interview. I was like, I actually know Kara, your business partner. And she goes, wait, did you write XYZ article? And I was like, yeah. She goes, I cut that out and pinned it to my corkboard.
Stop!
She cut it out of the magazine.
Oh my God.
I mean, talk about keeping the magazine business in business.
Yeah.
She buys 30 magazines a month from her local newsstand.
Oh my God.
And just reads them like cover to cover. She's like, wow, a voracious reader, and specifically like loves books, but loves magazine articles.
Oh my God.
But I couldn't believe that she quite literally cut out an article. I mean, dude, I didn't cut out that article.
No.
I actually don't know where that magazine is right now.
I haven't seen it in a minute.
I have not seen it. So that was shocking.
That's the sweetest thing. You're on someone's mood board.
Oh, she was like, I still have it. It was just bizarre.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
My second one was, I said to a friend, oh my God, did you see Kim Kardashian's Vogue China cover? And she goes, oh no, I have her blocked. I said, are you able to escape her even then? And she goes, yeah, you'd be surprised. I really see nothing from her. She goes, do you want to see my blocked list? And I, sure, absolutely. She sends me 3 screenshots in succession. Ivana, it is Zendaya, Sydney Sweeney, Kim Kardashian, Kylie Jenner, Kendall Jenner, all the Kardashian clan. Everyone you could possibly imagine who is maybe like an it girl right now, she has blocked.
Oh my God. Wait, we need to have her on.
We need to have her on. I fear that she is too, like, she is like a pop culture commentator in every way. Like, we have massive back and forths about the state of culture as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
She has really nailed down what makes her feel good and what doesn't. And she's just like, see ya. Wait, should I actually read you some?
Yeah, because that's also, it's so interesting. When you open with Zendaya, I was like, why?
Why?
How come?
Why? The one I really called out was Tyler, and she had a really specific experience. So yeah, that was like, there was personal stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, I'm just going to read you, dude. J-Lo, Zendaya, Tyler, Ariana Grande, Sydney Sweeney, Shakira, Kim Kardashian, Nicki Minaj, Kendall Jenner, Kylie Jenner, Hailey Bieber, Cara Delevingne, Emma Chamberlain, Bad Bunny, Lala. I think that's it.
Bad
Bunny, even.
Bad Bunny, even.
Yeah. Makes the cut. The only man on the list. The incredible thing about blocking people, which I also didn't realize, so this is a PSA for the uggos out there who really want to fuck up someone's life. When you get blocked, it actually affects your algorithmic success.
No
way. Unfollowing them isn't enough. If you want to make an impact on someone's life, actually block them.
Oh my God, that's a huge PSA.
Yeah.
I've never blocked anyone in
my life. No, don't you go and be blocking us.
Do not do this.
They block
do
not do this. Girl.
We're young and up and coming.
We need all the help we can get.
Yeah. Please don't do it. Wow.
Has that jogged anything for you? Inspiration wise,
you know,
still no.
I'm like,
You've come in flat this week. You've come in flat.
I'm coming in. Well, I worked until midnight last night.
Yeah,
which was unexpected because I was supposed to not do that. I was supposed to be done pretty early. And
was that a 12-hour day?
Like 11. Oh, yeah,
it's not.
I know, but it's okay because.
Money. Yeah.
Money and
overtime.
And overtime. And literally.
And holiday, like time and a half?
Yeah, time and a half.
Oh, time and a half. Well, that's nothing sweeter than that.
I know. So I'll take the time and a half. You know, I feel like what's inspiring me this week, actually. I'll get real with you. It is the old ladies of Al-Anon.
Okay. Alcoholics Anonymous.
It's another 12-step group, and it's basically for the like friends, loved ones, and family of alcoholics.
Yes.
So it's like if alcoholism has touched your life in some way, and I started going in like 2020 and fell off for a bit, but have returned because it explains everything about me. And it's so crazy to be in a room full of people that have the exact same personality traits as you, even though like everyone is from very different places, I mean, it's just like completely varied, except for the fact that when they're describing how they are with friends, loved ones, it's all the same. It's like, oh, like I try to manage people's feelings. I need to be perfect for them, like need to be sort of like in control at all times. And when I'm not, it's really hard, like on the tummy.
Yeah.
And I have found major inspiration. This is actually like probably my most like honest one.
Authentic inspiration
from the ladies who have been going for like 20, 30 years. Cause like I thought going in, I don't know what I thought, but it is a bunch of old women on a Zoom screen just talking about the alcoholic that like brought them to the group has died decades ago and they're still here. You know, they started 25 years ago, 30 years ago coming to Al-Anon, and this is the way it's impacted their life. And it's just incredible, one, what people can live through, and like hearing about some of their childhoods, truly actually inspirational to see what people can overcome and feel no resent. As we get older, I feel like our relationships with our parents get sometimes more complicated, or just like it's like two adults staring at each other in an empty room.
But to clarify, you don't have an alcoholic in the family.
I do.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Yeah. But I do. Yeah. Oh. And but it's also very helpful with mental illness. So it's like they call you like a double qualifier.
Well, that's what I thought. Yeah. You were coming in.
Yeah, a double
qualifier. Yeah.
And so it's a double qualifier. And it just is like supremely helpful. And I feel like has really brought me back into like, I don't know, the present, if you will, and has helped a lot, as like there's so much that's going to be out of my control in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
We're like 8 weeks to wedding, families flying in from all around the country. We're leaving the country after. It's going to be like complete and total chaos.
I would love to have a psychiatrist on here, a psychologist.
I know.
To talk about why weddings absolutely bring out the worst in people and why that is just a universal experience.
I know, it is.
And if it's not the bride, it's a family member. If it's not a family member, it's a close friend. It's a bridesmaid. It's always something. Like no one kind of like gets through unscathed, it seems.
Yeah. I think that applies to like when people have kids too. I just think that big life transitions do weird things to people.
Yeah, it's so inherently tied to the ego. Like you would think it's really about the bride or like the bride and groom that get a pass to go absolutely psycho because they're like, well, I've been thinking about this for 30 years and here we are. But it's like, it's what it inspires in others that really just always kind of throws me for a loop. I mean,
it is interesting. I think there's like a comparison piece there.
I mean, no one goes to a wedding and doesn't think, what would I do in this situation?
Yeah.
What would I do differently?
Or like, how do I feel about this?
What's
my take on the couple? What's my take on my relationship then?
Yeah. I personally wouldn't have done the canapé at 4, but good for them. Like, and just to go into it knowing that that's going to happen, like that's inevitable. That's a huge, like you have to like release control.
I know.
You're trying to create this perfect experience for other people when fundamentally it's supposed to be about yourself and a celebration of love. Like, it's really weird.
I know. It is weird.
It just feels like weddings is its own beast specifically.
I agree.
Weddings require so much of so many people, even if you're just like attending as a guest, whether it's like travel, outfit selection, you know, self-styling, or you are a bridesmaid or in the bridal party in general and have to pay $5,000 for the bachelorette.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a recipe for resentment, it feels like.
Yeah.
And I would love Inago to write in and tell us if there's any example that they've had been close to a wedding where there's actually been truly nothing going on in the background.
Yeah.
But I don't think we'll find one.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's a white whale.
Yeah, it is.
And
no,
I don't
pun
know.
Intended.
I know. Oh my god. I don't know how to transition us, but I was trying to grab on to, I'm like, big life transitions, but
that's
too dark to say.
I think the ego is really at play here in this profile.
Yeah,
there's a big kind of impenetrable sense of self that this person has.
Yeah.
And she will not compromise for anything.
Yeah.
And that is amazing at the tender age of 22.
So excited to be talking about Aaliyah. I mean,
okay, should we talk about the reason it's Aaliyah right now?
Yeah.
It's the P. Diddy stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is right up there with the R. Kelly stuff. Mm-hmm. And there were also rumors about P. Diddy and Aaliyah. They've been connected.
Yeah. A photo of them came out together at P. Diddy's famous white party. And it's a worrying photo of her in between, like, hand on his thigh. And I didn't realize how young she was when she came to prominence, like 15.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was 15 when she married R. Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that marriage was annulled by her parents because the marriage license falsely listed her as 18.
Wait, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yes. Oh. Like, it was like on a technicality that they were able to annul it. And she doesn't speak about it. But it's just, he was 27. She was 15.
It's kind of also giving Tyga and Kylie.
How old is Tyga?
Tyga was 26. And she was 17.
No way.
And that was when they were public.
Yeah.
Like, she got that Ferrari or whatever it was for her 18th birthday from him. So it was, yeah, prior to that. But it just, I mean, there is such a pattern in this industry. I just, like, I wonder where Chris was in all of it. There are so many questions I want to ask.
Yeah.
I asked Emma Roberts that. I was like, did you ask Kim how she gets all this done in a day? Because she was like, it's unbelievable that she is in law school and she's like coming to set and she is like running this multi-billion dollar business. And Emma said, like, and she looks perfect.
Yeah, I'm
sure. Like, she looks perfect. And I said, did you ask like how she's pulling this off? And she was like, oh my God, no, I didn't even think to. She was like, maybe I like need to brush up on my journalism skills. Like, that's the first thing I'd want to know. Break down your schedule like hour by hour. Like, how do you get it all done? But the same thing with Chris. I'm just like, kind of where were you and what were you thinking? Not in an accusatory, judgmental way, but truly, like, what were you thinking when this like 25-year-old rapper started hanging around Kylie?
Yeah.
And it's been the same thing with Drake. I mean, old images have emerged. Kylie at 16, Drake hanging off her.
Oh my God.
So yeah, so 15, 27.
So history does repeat itself in this way. And I think, like, the Lolita of it all, our society obsesses over young women. And there's this idea of, like, jailbait. And I mean, it's tough. It really is so devastating to think about how so many of our musical idols are horrible people or
alleged pedophiles.
Alleged pedophiles. Yeah. I mean, you know, all the rock gods that we talk about. It is horrible if you look into what they were doing on tour in the 60s, 70s.
Yes. Who's the one that literally had a 14-year-old girlfriend?
Yeah.
In the 70s. It's like a Mick Jagger type, but I don't think Mick Jagger, but quite like famously had a 14-year-old girlfriend for years.
Yeah.
I mean, Jerry Seinfeld was one that I was reminded of recently. 17-year-old girlfriend parading out and about, like going to public events.
Yeah. I know.
Just before we dive in, what do you think it is about young women, young boys? Is it the impressionability? Is it the fact that when these people got famous, they became infantilized in some way? Everything was done for them. Everything was taken care of for them. They relate to young children. Is it a fetish? Is it like a sexual orientation? The way pedophilia has now like been kind of branded? What do you think?
I feel like it's, I mean, for many of them, I feel like there's a control element of like easily controlled, easily like
manipulated.
There's an innocence also. And then I think in many ways, like, not to blame Vladimir Nabokov for everything, but like, I really do think that our society has always sexualized like the young. It's like people talk about how no one's prettier than a high school girl, and there is this like virginal sort of like blushing young gal. It is put on a pedestal in such a weird way.
Yeah. And there have been so many signs. There has been so, like, obviously Aaliyah, R. Kelly, age is nothing but a number. The amount of red flags that have been hitting us in the face, but because they're overlaid with a catchy beat. Biggest song in Drake's career, like, Nice For What, like, High School Pics, You Was Even Bad Then. Like, who's looking? I'll tell you what. I'm not looking at my seventh form ID and going, that's a baddie.
No.
That nope. is a baddie.
Yeah. I would smash.
Stop.
Horrible. I would Horrific. Smash. I would smash.
Like, I actively, like, round face, like, look like
that's
a
child.
Child.
That's yeah. a child.
And that's me at 17 turning 18.
Yeah. The baby face.
What's the biggest age gap that you've gone? Or you've had?
None. I mean, well,
I guess you met Steven so young.
Yeah.
You sophomore year of college?
Freshman.
I know.
No.
I know.
Wow. Okay. But I guess technically, like, in terms of, like, hooked up with, there was an egregious case in my youth. I was 14 and he was 22.
Yeah.
At a party.
Terrible.
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 Did he ask your age?
No.
Oh, okay.
But he knew that I was friends with his friend's youngest sister. They were having a college party and I was friends with, like, her, the youngest sister parents were out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with her. So he knew that I was in her grade.
No, 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 no.
It was terrible. It was a terrible night.
I think my biggest age gap was 20 and 36.
That's a bit, yeah.
But I think the thing is, when you are selected by someone that much older, it's so easy to fall into the thinking pattern that you are more mature.
Yeah.
You have been specially selected. It's like a terminal uniqueness thing.
Yes.
You're like, well, they see something in me. They may not ever date someone as young as me, but I'm the special one.
Exactly.
It's like that.
Not and like those old hags.
Totally.
Yeah. You could be my father.
You could be my father.
You could be my father.
Oh my God. Did I tell you this at my birthday? That maybe like a 41-year-old guy showed up with a friend of a friend to my birthday party and was like, how old are you turning? And I was like, 29. And he was like, whoa.
Oh my God.
Did I tell you that?
No. Whoa, in what way?
Like, I think shocked that I was so old.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, no, no. No, not in like a fun way of like, you look so young. Like, I could have said you're 26. Like, whoa, that's old.
Oh.
Like, it was that.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
keep,
yeah.
Keep it away.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I'm holding up the crucifix.
Yeah.
Clearly like, oh, you've actually aged out of my bracket.
Oh my God.
I was just like.
We live in a okay. sick society.
Okay.
All right. No worries.
Well, over the hill now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's 11 years older. Like, of course. Naturally.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, this is, like, the background of this profile, really. It's, like, her and R. Kelly and the fact that she's not talking about it. And, honestly, this is a wonderful profile. Not spoilers.
Spoiler. I know.
It's so interesting. Oh. I wish I found out more about the writer.
My hair is actually on its.
Yeah.
And I pumiced this shit off.
Like, yeah.
But my hair is standing on its edges right
you
now.
You pumice the hair off?
I know. Yeah. I felt someone's very soft forearms once and I said, how are they possibly so soft? And she was like, it's an $8 pumice from Amazon.
No way.
And just like pumice it off.
Wow.
I haven't pumiced in a while, I must admit.
Oh my God.
But you can see how my hair is like so thin on my forearms.
Yeah.
Because I've pumiced it.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll pick that up offline.
I'll link it in our stories.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is an August 2001 cover story. It's in Vibe magazine. And it's written by Hyun. Is that how you would pronounce it?
Yeah, Hyun Kim.
Hyun Kim. And I wish I found more about the writer. I really couldn't find much of anything.
This was 25 years ago.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Early dawn of the internet still, I would say.
And I would say the only reason that this profile exists online at all is because of the significance of when it was published
I know.
In relation to
her death, which we'll talk about, I think, up top.
Yeah.
In August of 2001, Aaliyah, at 22, was killed in an airplane crash. Her plane was flying over the Bahamas. There were 8 other people on board, and it was just an overloaded aircraft, and it crashed shortly after takeoff. The pilot also had cocaine and alcohol in his system. And, I mean, again, talking about, like, history repeating itself, I feel like there are so many scary, you know, plane crashes with young, brilliant, budding artists in them. It's just so sad because she was primed. I mean, she had already redefined R&B. She had like started a new fashion movement with like the baggy pants. She was just so talented and so beloved. And it really feels like she had this like angelic energy to her. Any secondary source that's talking about her in this profile is just like in awe of her.
Yeah, she's beatific.
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah.
And it's just so, so sad.
I also don't know how anyone got on a plane. I mean, September 11th obviously came a month later.
Yeah.
John F. Kennedy Jr. and Carolyn Bessette Kennedy had died in a plane crash, like off Martha's Vineyard. He was actually piloting the aircraft, which I didn't know, and thought he was going up, but drove the plane into the water. Dude, their bodies were found strapped in.
That's horrifying.
Like they found them after they'd been missing because her prescription pills washed up on the shores of Martha's Vineyard.
Oh my God.
It just all happened in such a short time span. Yeah. And I also just remember the release of Josie and the Pussycats, which is really freaky. Yeah. I don't know what year that came out, if it was 2001.
It could be 2000.
Hey, Siri.
There we go.
When did Josie and the Pussycats premiere?
Josie and the Pussycats debuted on the CBS Saturday morning lineup.
No. Not 1970.
No.
That's not the one we know.
2001.
What date?
April 9th.
So the whole premise of that movie is that Du Jour, the famous boy band, like goes down in a plane crash. Remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then Aaliyah dies in a private plane crash like 5 months later.
No.
And like that was satire.
Yeah.
That was parodying like the pop star experience.
Mm-hmm. It's so scary.
Oh my God.
People still talk about it. I know. And with that, let's dive in.
Well, I'll start with the headline. The headline is incredible.
Yeah.
The headline says so much by saying so little.
What lies beneath the deck? With a new album and the romantic lead in the upcoming Anne Rice adapted flick, Queen of the Damned, Aaliyah is ready for superstardom. But don't think you can get too close to her. Hyun Kim tried and found out some of the things that are best left alone.
This was just an era of journalism where you could talk shit.
Yeah.
If no one gave you anything or if they weren't cool or the vibe wasn't there, no pun intended, this ran in Vibe magazine.
Yeah.
You could just be like, this person kind of sucks. Like, to be honest with you, like you're telling the reader, they sucked. And it's such an honest interpretation or like read, for lack of a better word, of a celebrity. And we just don't get it in the same way. Everything is so veiled.
Yeah.
I think the last time I read a recent modern profile that kind of gets on this level with authenticity was like the Meghan Markle, Alison Pee Davis profile.
And also now there is this idea of, it's not just that you're not allowed to ask the questions, that the deep personal questions, but you're also not allowed to mention it in the profile.
Oh, yeah.
It's like
you
can't be like, I asked about the divorce. She wasn't willing to talk.
Yeah. Hyun Kim clearly didn't really get much out of her.
No.
And that is clear from the literal intro paragraph.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Which reads, Aaliyah lives the perfect life. To hear her tell it, she wouldn't change a thing. This is what I always wanted, she says of her career. I breathe to perform, to entertain. I can't imagine myself doing anything else. I'm just a really happy girl right now. I honestly love every aspect of this business. I really do. I feel very fulfilled and complete.
Okay, I don't think anyone in history has ever said, I love every aspect of the music business.
I know.
There is no...
Famously, there are bad aspects.
There is no stand-up industry quite like entertainment.
Yeah.
I know. Everyone's above board.
Wonderful
super
people
nice.
All around. Super, super nice.
And she's saying this coming off a marriage with a producer.
I know.
Like over 10 years her senior.
Yeah. So Kim writes, it's true that a young woman with a burgeoning career in music and film might as well be ecstatic about her life. In fact, there's nothing more annoying than hearing some spoiled star whine about the pitfalls of success. So while Aaliyah's comments are refreshing, you can't help but wonder if things sound, well, too good to be true. So she's really press savvy. And I mean, she gives away nothing on these quotes. Really nothing.
No, like literally, he has nothing to work with.
No. And it is clear that she's not going to be discussing the R. Kelly marriage.
No.
Which I also didn't know that Vibe broke that story in 1995.
Oh, wow.
I know. So it's like really a full circle moment.
I'm also obsessed with this outlet in general for this kind of story. Like
yeah.
Vibe is the predecessor of like a Fader, a very reputable music forward magazine. So this is not a salacious type of profile that's going to run in like a Vanity Fair or like a more cultural forward magazine. This is music first. And even to vibe, she won't give anything up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would have been a privilege for any artist to be on the cover of Vibe, much like a Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
So it's really wild that she's like, actually, no thanks, next question.
Yeah.
Which has only ever happened to me once. Famously. Infamously. Addison Rae.
I know. And it's also incredible that she's doing this. She's 22 years old, which,
yeah,
youngest age in the world.
Yeah.
And of course, and thank God, we have them together. They're bowling. We know how much we love activity.
Coming into this today, I was like, well, Ivana's really going to get into the bowling.
I know. I love to bowl. I'm serious about bowling.
But you love an activity in a profile.
I love an activity. And I think it's also so fucking funny to take like an R&B star bowling.
Like the coolest girl on the planet. Yeah. To like, there's no Gambia outing that you could have.
No. Yeah. It is so, so funny. So we're sitting, it's a Thursday evening in May. Aaliyah's lacing up her clunky bowling shoes at AMF Chelsea Piers Lanes in New York City. She goes relatively unnoticed. She's just a girl, but she's also stunning. I loved learning the detail that her signature hair, the like over one eye, is based on Veronica Lake, that popularized that in like Hollywood's golden age.
Just cultivated this air of like, you cannot get close to me. You don't know who I am.
Yeah. She sort of talks about herself as a true homebody. She says, when I have the time, I stay home a lot, do things like this, speaking of bowling, or play laser tag.
And then Hyun Kim adds, it couldn't have been scripted any better. Yeah. I mean, he's calling her out at every turn, which is like incredible. Like he's letting her quotes hang and then he's dropping the hammer.
There are some things that celebrities say. It's the famous Bella Hadid, like, my favorite snack, like a pizza every day.
Yeah.
Where it's like, what are you talking about? You're going bowling often?
You're playing laser tag?
Yeah.
When do you have time to do that?
I know. Especially after the year that she's had, which we'll get into later. She was basically shooting this movie, huge movie, and then recording her album at night.
At night.
And like, that was the full year. It was like a 4-month shoot. I mean, it's just, where would you find the time?
I mean, famously, a shoot runs 12 hours.
Yeah.
Like you're getting picked up at 4 a.m. and then dropped home at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
And then all later.
Yeah.
Much later, actually, I should say. And then hitting the studio. You know who did that and absolutely bottomed out was Lindsay Lohan. Do you remember that? In her profile, that's what drove her to the brink. She got hospitalized.
Oh my God.
She was working on Herbie Fully Loaded and then recording at night.
Not Herbie Fully Loaded. Not Herbie Fully Loaded.
Absolutely breaking yourself over Herbie Fully Loaded.
A Herbie-induced hospitalization.
Not it's Herbie not induced.
Oh, no.
Not Herbie induced. We say that from now on.
Yeah.
I'm just in a Herbie-induced depression. Yeah,
I'm having a Herbie-induced manic week. Honestly, we have been. Sort of like the last like 3 episodes have been Herbie-induced. Just like mania on not both this, of our ends.
Not this animated car with magical powers.
No.
Absolutely.
Wrecking us.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. But Aaliyah had sort of the classic, what we hear about in the books,
in the movies.
She wanted to be a singer forever. She knew it since she was in a production of Annie and had one line. She watched Star Search, which was like huge.
Usher got his start on Star Search.
Yeah. So many people.
Yeah.
Crazy. I mean, yeah. Star Search introduced the world to Justin Timberlake, Destiny's Child, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera. And Aaliyah was among them. She was like 8 or like, she was just like 11 years old at the point that she finally got it. She had known she wanted to do it since she was 8. And she didn't get it. Search.
No one found her.
No one found her. But Ed McCone, the host of Star Search, says, the thing that you see when somebody walks out on stage, I call it the fire. They got that inner fire, which has nothing to do with the schooling, nothing to do with the teacher, nothing to do with the parents. There is a desire in that person to please the audience. You see it enough to recognize it. And that's what I saw with Aaliyah.
It's interesting because from this profile, I learned that she is, by definition, a Nepo baby.
Yeah, she's well connected in the music industry.
She's well connected. And that's how she managed to get her foot in so young, because she was absolutely an adolescent.
Yes.
Her uncle, Barry Hankerson, was married to Gladys Knight.
And then took his 11-year-old niece to go and perform 5 nights at Bally's Las Vegas casino. So doing 5 nights alongside Gladys Knight at 11.
Unbelievable.
Can you imagine being a member of that audience? No. Just like,
who is this child?
Like, I paid to see Gladys.
I know.
And then soon after, Hankerson introduced his niece to R. Kelly, who he was managing at the time. And then famously, R. Kelly ended up writing and producing 15-year-old Aaliyah's 1994 debut, Age Ain't Nothing But a Number. And from that moment on, she was a bona fide star.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that part feels very disturbing. She was introduced to R. Kelly by her uncle.
A family member, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
But she's not going to address it.
No.
She, when asked, she only alludes. She says, of course, everybody's had hard times.
No, hard times.
Hard.
She doubles up the hard, which feels revelatory in a way that she probably didn't intend. Of course, everyone's had hard times.
Mm-hmm.
Not just hard times.
Hard times.
Yeah.
And she says, I don't really think I will go into detail as to what it was, which we did later. To her, in her defense, she had to sign NDAs with R. Kelly. So she also, I think, legally could not have said something here without getting into a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
She says, when you go through something so painful, it just helps you become a stronger person. When asked if she's ever been in love, she says with a bright smile, private life. I don't want to share that. Which I need to start saying way more.
It's almost like hitting a button. Like,
you're like, hey,
private life.
Yeah. I know. How are things at the wedding? Private life. I don't want to share that.
I goes, you know, we're always talking about clout. Who has it and who doesn't? And that is why I've got to introduce you to Noumi's Clout Control Anti-Frizz Spray. This product is a literal revelation. It forms a protective coat over each individual strand of hair, and it also has a built-in UV filter. All summer long, while you're frolicking, swimming, whatever, your hair is protected from sun damage. It's got wheat protein. It's got vitamin E, keeping your hair healthy, shiny, and most importantly, long, if that's your goal. And you only need to use it like every 3 to 4 washes. It's really long-lasting, and it's going to leave everyone asking, how on earth does her hair look like that? Ivana and I both have like long, thick, frizz-prone hair, and I cannot recommend a brand or a product enough. I quite literally use Noumi's flat iron every single day. As you know, I can't go a day without my hair being sleek and smooth, and Noumi's Clout Control helps with that immensely. Head to noumihair.com, that's NUMEhair.com, and take 15% off at checkout with the code UNCOVER. That's NUMEhair.com, 15% off with the code UNCOVER. We are so excited for you to try this. No frizz, no flyaways. Get that clout control going. Imagine having the wherewithal at 22. I mean, I literally can't be in a coffee shop and the barista's like, how's your day going? And me being like, well, I got a parking ticket for one. Never been broker.
Yeah.
For two. Famously, I can't hold anything close to the chest. Do not tell me a secret. But
PSA.
PSA. To be that closed off at 22. I just don't know how she's managing to do it.
I know. It's smart. And he calls her the Teflon diva.
Incredible.
Which, brilliant. So good. Nothing ever sticks to her. And after Kelly, she was sort of linked romantically to everyone from Ginuwine to Jay-Z, and most recently the co-CEO of Rockefeller Records, Damon Dash. They were like spotted together in nightclubs, inseparable, sort of like all the things. And she addresses this by saying, I think rumors are hilarious. I don't pay any attention. It goes in one ear and out the other. When you're in the business, you hang out with people and people are like, I wonder if they're seeing each other. And she basically denies all of this. She's like, I never dated Jay-Z, never dated Ginuwine. Damon and I are friends. That's it. She is wearing a diamond Rockefeller pendant on her neck as she says this, but
doesn't mean anything.
Don't worry about that.
No. Doesn't mean a thing.
Would you ever get Chris's name tattooed on your body or wear like a Chris necklace?
Okay, well, first of all, there's a lack of romanticism around the name Chris. However, if we were to break up, I do think I could find another Chris. They are a dime a dozen out here.
I know. Is he Chris or Christopher?
Christopher.
He's a Christopher.
Yeah. Oh, That's been a real point of contention because I booked airplane tickets under Chris and they won't let him on because his passport says Christopher. Yeah. But there could not be a more popular name for the late 80s, early 90s. Every man we meet in this country is named Chris.
That's true.
So I do think I could get away with it. However, it's not for me.
Yeah.
Even the necklace, I do have a friend who wears...
initial.
Mm-hmm. Of her partner.
Yeah.
It's not for me. Yeah. It's like not my choice. I don't really need to be branded with my partner's name.
No, the only thing I would do is, do you know the middle school S? maybe I would get that for Steven.
Yeah, the two lines that connect. Like a five.
Yeah, it's like, it's just by chance that his name starts with that gorgeous letter.
That's calligraphy.
That's calligraphy. That's art. That's the Shakespearean, you know, text beginning. That like first gorgeous letter.
Yeah, you need to do it yourself and then take it in and be like, I want this and I want it big.
Big.
Can I get it on my bicep?
Yeah.
That would be incredible. Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I think a tattoo artist would bow down out of respect in that moment.
I agree. Making it dance. Yeah. Making the S dance as I flex.
Most bitches want a butterfly.
Yeah.
I want the middle school S. Yeah,
exactly.
Wow.
So... That's my take on that. But Aaliyah somehow fabulously maintains like nothing's going on. A diamond encrusted necklace. And speaking of necklaces, we go on to just like what an icon she is in the fashion world. Mm-hmm. She was cast in a 1996 Tommy Jeans ad campaign. And I mean, really did like she, it was like her in men's boxers with baggy jeans and a tight tube top. And that like created the look of that era.
She had quite a rare body type for like black culture in that moment. Like she had like a runway skinny mm-hmm. fashion body type, which I think like we can't discount made her a lot more palatable to the fashion industry at the time. Like mm-hmm. it was very like heroin chic coded. Obviously this was when Kate Moss was absolutely raining.
Yeah.
But she had an androgynous vibe. She was always wearing like men's baggy clothes and like showing her perfectly flat toned belly.
Yeah.
And yeah, and that was like the ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is wild. And with that, her sort of like vibe and the what she exudes, we get into here this idea, which I do think is true, that she has sort of this like naturally sexy way about her. And she says, my mother always said that she feels I always had sex appeal.
Yeah.
Even when I was very young, when I would take pictures, there was something sexual about me. I do feel sexy for sure. I embrace it and I'm comfortable with it. I enjoy it.
Yeah. Even when I was very young, there was something sexual about me that really stuck out to me as well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe her sense of self with that is that she's an old soul. Like maybe she sees herself as much more mature. I did find this sentence interesting from Hyun. He says, she doesn't have the best figure or the best voice. Mm-hmm. And that was fascinating to me from like an R&B standpoint. There was a very different type of woman who was like very voluptuous, like the Little Kim type, like very voluptuous, big titties, big ass too, like, and then this powerhouse vocal. I just find it funny in hindsight being like she didn't have the best figure when she had literally the dream body.
Looks amazing.
Looks amazing. And her voice is very, it is whisper toned, but she hits a run.
But it just doesn't like blow you off your feet. No. Like in the way that like
a Mary J. Blige.
Yes.
It's where like you're blowing like, you out of town.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Yeah.
But this whole thing about like her sex appeal, like I don't even watch like Try Again and find her super, super sexy. It's just the fact that she doesn't give it all up. Like she is just so like, it's purely the mystery.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
You're just like, who is this person? What is she thinking? I need to know. And even though she's scantily clad and wearing a bikini top and like low rise pants, so is Emily Ratajkowski.
Yeah.
I don't have the same sense of like, this is so alluring.
Mm-hmm. Or just like, I have no idea what's going on with this girl. Like, I need to get to the bottom of this. Which is fine. I mean, I say this as someone who has fully accepted my lack of mystery. Never during my time on this earth will someone look to me and think like, that's a Rubik's Cube I need to crack. Like,
I don't know. You have been wearing your hair straighter than usual. And that is something I know, that has intrigued me.
I got my haircut. I got my haircut and I got a blowout as a result.
Okay.
As included with the haircut.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah, of course. No, I'm so sorry to just walk into this without explaining.
Just up front, disclaimer.
And you know what? I'm also getting a blowout next week. So it's
going to be like this for a while.
It's three in a row. It's three in a row. Because I'm getting my hair and makeup trial for the wedding.
I also need to give a hair update for everyone asking. My undercut, which I did in a manic episode post-abortion, is slowly but surely growing out. I can now fit it in a
God, that's huge.
It's hitting a low ponytail now. So yeah. It's thanks for the thoughts, prayers, concerns.
Yeah.
I've had now several people see it and be like unintentionally, be like, what's going on there? I've had several women in my life being
shut up. Private life. I do not want to talk about that.
Private life. Private life is so incredible.
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
it says everything. It's like, so it's a full sentence. You know when they say no is a full sentence? Yeah. Private life is a full sentence as well.
It's the exclamation point on the end.
Yeah. And the fact that she delivered that line with a bright smile. Yeah. A bright smile. It's amazing.
Yeah. But the I haven't been keeping that private, and no, it's holding me accountable to the hair growth. It's like it's getting there.
I feel like also it's like shows the passage of time.
It really does.
It's like, this is how far I am from that moment.
I also don't notice my hair growing as an entire entity.
No.
Like, it doesn't ever click for me. So actually seeing like, wow, it's been 6 months and it's now at like 3 inches. That's like really crazy.
Yeah.
That is. That must be what like pregnancy is like for people.
Wow,
now it's a now it's a fig.
Yeah.
Now it's an orange.
Yeah. Eggplant. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I know. Terrifying stuff. But she's just made her first foray into acting and everyone sort of regarded her as incredible in it. She was in Romeo Must Die. It was like a kung fu hip hop. DMX was also in the movie. Like,
it was a Shakespearean adaptation with kung fu and hip hop.
Yeah.
Me pitching it.
I know.
Imagine.
Let me set the scene. And now she's about to be in an adaptation of one of Anne Rice's books. This is actually so crazy how this is connected to my life personally. I've been reading so much about Anne Rice because I've been working on this story about fan fiction. And Anne Rice was famously like the great fan fiction dissenter. She was like actively against anyone adapting her work and made it impossible, and like is the reason that all fan fiction authors now fear for their lives, because she took like legal action against anyone who dared use her characters and like make up their own little stories online.
No way. Why? What?
She just like did not think it should exist. She's like, I invented these characters. Like, you do not have license to use them at your will.
Well, I always saw that with E.L. James, like how she was able to take such obvious adaptations of Edward and Bella and turn them into Christian Grey and Anna, whatever the fuck.
It's because I think if you get far enough from the original source material, like if you change the names, change the setting, change the whatever, it's like they technically can't be like,
right,
that's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you look on paper, there is no crossover, but anyone that knows both would be like, this is very similar.
Right.
So it is fascinating. But yeah, as a fan fiction author, you're not allowed to make any money as well. You like can't. So Anne Rice, I've been thinking a lot about Anne Rice these days, and they're about to adapt Queen of the Damned, and Aaliyah will play Akasha, an ancient Egyptian vampire. And she was cast specifically because the director was like, I did not want to cast an Elizabeth Taylor type to play like Cleopatra, an Egyptian queen.
Mm-hmm.
So he went for Aaliyah and she like worked her ass off and gave it everything.
Have you seen that film?
No, I haven't.
Neither have I, actually.
I
know. I was thinking about that. I need to see it.
Yeah. She worked with like a speech coach, an acting coach. She says, I love Egypt. I love vampires. It was the dream role. So I worked very hard. And she did, because as she was shooting during the day, she was also recording her album, just working herself to the bone.
I think you can only do that at like 2021.
No, that's so true. It's really, really
true. So she released Try Again, her number one single. Was that off the Queen of the Damned soundtrack? Am I getting that right?
Yes. Yeah, it was.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and then obviously, I mean, that song lives on. It's eternally
amazing,
catchy and
a
pop hit. Her musical peak was happening in tandem with her releasing these like big blockbuster movies.
Yeah.
Very rarely do people get to experience that success concurrently, you know, in both types of industries.
I know. and to be like so young and beautiful, so young.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is just like a whirlwind. And she seems to be like carrying it very gracefully at this point. Of just like, so grateful for this opportunity. Well, love this, my music.
And this is what I think became, for me, I mean, the prevailing quote. When she says, when it comes to overexposure, that's something I will always be aware of. I never want that. This is my life. I love it. But it's important for me to take breaks. Don't want to overload anybody. Okay. To have the foresight to do that, I think you have to kind of come from an industry family in some way. Yeah. Because like, you know, Jennifer Lawrence from Kentucky was not being like, okay, I'm not going to take whatever American Hustle because I'm just coming off the Hunger Games and it's kind of like all too much for the public. And instead you get pushed to the brink where you're forced to take a 7-year hiatus, right? Her being like, okay, with the music and the movies and blah, blah, blah. Like I'm playing, she's playing the long game. Like yeah. It's strategy.
Yes. And I also think it's so interesting, her quote where she says, I'm not one to give everything and pour my heart out into one of my songs, which is something we sort of force onto artists these days. It's like, you're nothing if you're not, if it's not a confessional album,
right?
A confessional song, like it's the Taylor Swift of it all, of just yes. like, tell us everything that ever happened to you and make it catchy. And I want the verse to slap.
Actually, that's been one of the biggest critiques of the Dua Lipa album. Is that everyone's kind of like, well, this is cute, but like, what's it about? Yeah, what's it about? Like, what are you saying here? I kind of like that people are, I mean, there's social media. There's obviously so many different avenues now wherein you can expose yourself as an artist. There's a way to put yourself out there or hold yourself back. But the Taylor stuff, the Taylor stuff, I find a little bit almost too much. I don't know if I need everything the way that she gives it. And I understand that fans are there because they are so invested and they love, like, almost there is like a fan fiction component, right? Because you are making up stories around these people and people that
like
she's dated.
Betty and like, oh, and then she loved a woman, but she couldn't tell us. So this is her way. She invented this character.
And this is her way. Like, exactly. And for me, I'm like, there's got to be like a little bit that you hold back because then I'm suspicious, you know? Yeah. Then it's like you are truly commercializing your private life and or profiting off it in a way that feels like just a tiny bit icky to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, that's been the critique against Taylor Swift for so long. I mean, with the boyfriend, she has a breakup, we get a hit album. So like, I'm really saying nothing new, but there is something incredibly chic about just being a little bit like, you know, cat and mouse with your career, like a little bit withholding.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest power is in the withdrawal. Like, we reach the more you withdraw, and it's sexy.
Yeah. And I feel like the closest we get to getting to know her as she really is when her friends talk about it. Kidada Jones, Quincy Jones's daughter, who's like one of her closest friends. She's the sweetest. She's grounded. She's emotionally balanced. She's unaffected. She has a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
And she's just like the sweetest artist in the world.
And then it kind of comes out through this conversation that Aaliyah likes to make prank phone calls to public establishments with her friend. You know, Hyun's like, oh, like, tell me about the prank phone calls. That's funny. She, of course, for personal reasons, chooses not to go into more detail.
Yeah. Prank phone calls. Like, of course, like, she's in her early 20s.
Yeah,
like,
that's a kid.
Yeah, that's a kid. And like, she's always been a very like respectful young woman.
Academic. She had a 4.0 GPA. I did think this was kind of funny that she sung Ave Maria in Italian for her audition getting into this performing arts high school. And Hyun remarks she was only 14. Anyone who's classically trained is singing in other languages by like age 9. Like,
yeah.
I was like, okay, true. Only 14 is like a bit of a reach.
Yeah. That's so true. Yeah, I remember watching my youngest sister Simona sing arias.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're singing in French. You're singing. You have to. That's the only people who were making the music.
I know.
they weren't making it. Not us. No, it's not a Pocahontas.
Yeah. Take me home, country road. Yeah. So now we're back to bowling. She's bowled a 73, low score, which again, I'm like, are you bowling? Are you going to tell us you're bowling? You're bowling a 73 today?
Yeah. What is a high bowling score?
I mean, 100 plus.
Okay.
But I know people who can bowl like a 200.
Like getting strikes on strikes.
Yeah, strikes on strikes. Nice. It's incredible.
Nice.
So she decides she wants to play video games. This sentence reads so funny.
I know. After bowling a low 73, Aaliyah decides that she wants to play video games before heading to her Upper West Side apartment to read Harry Potter books.
Yeah.
Okay. This feels totally at odds with, like, I've always been sexual. Like, as a child, I've always, like, had this allure to be, like, I just want to go and read about magic and, like, play video games. It just really speaks to that
childlike youth of it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes everything more and more difficult to stomach. We kind of glazed past this, but the reason why, or one of the many reasons why the Romeo movie wasn't well received, is because people accused the two stars, Aaliyah and this older Asian actor, of not having any chemistry. Mm. And she says it's because Warner Brothers, like, removed their kissing scene. And Hyun remarks, well, maybe it's because a kissing scene between a young woman and a guy who's like 16 years older than her isn't going to go down very well. Mm-hmm. It's just weird how this theme of youth hits every single sentence in this profile. Like, it's every note is like, here is a young girl, here is how she's been made to operate in an adult world kind of too soon. Mm-hmm. And it is fucking quite freaky. Like, it is freaky, like, to see Harry Potter dropped here so casually.
It is. And then I think what follows this really deeply made me sad. So he writes, in a month, she'll head back to Australia to play Z in Matrix 2 and 3. After that, she'll play the lead in the Whitney Houston-produced remake of the 70s film Sparkle, which is still in its embryonic stage. But for tonight, Aaliyah just wants to be a regular girl. And obviously none of those projects would come to fruition. She left this world before
she could partake. It's this next paragraph I'm haunted by, dude. I literally, like,
yeah,
I'm never,
I know I have them too.
I'm never the one with chills, yeah, but I am, like, full body goosebumps. When Aaliyah eventually gets shot to death in the game.
The video game she's playing.
She decides she's had enough. I've always been mysterious, says Aaliyah. My mother and father used to ask me, what are you thinking? What's going on? There are times when I don't understand myself. You know what I mean? You do understand, and you can't help but believe every word she says as she continues. I have blackout shades in my apartment. A push button. It's totally dark. I'm a bit of a vampire in real life. And there are times when I just want to be myself. I want to be alone. The foreshadowing of getting shot to death in the game. I mean, this article ran the same month she died.
I know.
She was the August cover of Vibe when she was killed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, it's really freaky is what it is. Like, yeah, it's freaky.
It is. And then we're at the end here. So it ends. So instead of hiding from the world, maybe all the secrecy is Aaliyah's way of discovering herself. Her way of holding on to what's true in a hazy world of glitz and imagery. People feel like they own you in this business, and to a certain degree, they do, she says. But there's a part of me that will always be just for me.
How good was that?
I know.
How good was that?
It's so interesting. It tells us everything by really illuminating all the, like, negative space, like the stuff around Aaliyah that we'll never know.
Yeah.
And it, like, paints a picture of her, renders her within that.
No, it's kind of like a Rorschach test.
Yes.
Where you, like, hold it up and you're just kind of like, what do you see? Mm-hmm. What are you making out of this? And whatever you do see is telling you a lot about who you are.
Yeah.
It's the weird duality that she has of, like, I love every aspect of this business, but also, like, people feel like they own you. Mm-hmm. Like, does she believe the politician diplomatic front? Or is this the truth here where she's like, I know that people think they own me and I'm not going to let them have all of me.
I think it's the latter. I think it's that. I think that she has real wherewithal within this. And it may be because she was born in an industry family. So it's not like she's been plucked from a mall per se. I think that's also the difference between her and the other names on Star Search that got found or whatever and then built up big careers from nothing. It just seems to me that she is a person that is like an introvert almost.
Yeah.
She's not looking externally. Like, she really needs time with herself and for herself, and that, like, she has ownership of.
So different to, like, a J-Lo.
Yeah.
Who was a star at this time.
Yeah.
She is so secure in her talent and her drive and her work ethic in a way where she's like, I don't really need anything else. I don't really need to give you anything else.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's all here. Whereas, like, you look at someone like a J-Lo who feels, like, very performative. Like, she always needs to be visible, you know? Yeah. And Aaliyah just doesn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I compare the two is because J-Lo is similarly a sex symbol at the same time, a pop star and an actress, and dating P. Diddy and these, like, big, famous hip-hop moguls. It's funny to see how stardom can manifest out of two completely different directions.
Mm-hmm.
There's no formula. Or yeah. Maybe she's just eschewing the formula. Maybe she's subverting it altogether, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
She's just like, I'm going to do it my way. And that means I'm not going to tell Vibe shit.
Yeah, yeah. And try me. Now, I think there's a reason that she remains in, like, the pop culture world. Like, people think about her potential so much.
Yeah.
And what she could have done and accomplished. She remains relevant even today.
Interesting birthday. Capricorn. Doesn't surprise you at all.
No. Makes so much sense.
With J-Lo being a Leo, I mean, come on.
Oh my God.
Come on.
We are who we are.
We are who we are. It's written in the stars.
Yeah.
This has got to be one of my most favorite profiles. Yeah. I think we've, like, ever done.
And such an interesting, like, go back in time. Like, it's just, it's been a minute since we were in the early 2000s.
Yeah. And it's fab. We've read a bunch of profiles recently. We've been fair and we've, you know, said, like, oh, we really enjoyed this. This isn't a separate echelon, mm-hmm. because this is just so incisive.
Mm-hmm.
He's really getting to the crux off the back of pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
To do that work, to not fall into the trap of just putting a bubblegum piece of journalism together, which is like, she's killing it.
Yeah.
And she loves it. He's like being like, actually, like, there's more to this girl than meets the eye.
Yeah.
I tried to get there. She wouldn't give it to me. Here's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
And piecing things together with the help of, like, fucking Carson Daly and, like, Quincy Jones's daughter or yeah. whoever it was, like, you know, in crazy secondary sources. It's really very, very good.
Whenever I think about, like, unexplored potential, something inside me snaps. It's like one of the saddest things.
Right now, she would be... quick math.
40.
Yeah, 47, yeah. 46. Yeah. And it would have been interesting to see how she would have navigated the early 2000s,
mm-hmm.
how extremely disparaging they were to women.
I know.
Raunch culture, the classic, like, dumbed down tropes.
Yeah.
Like, it would have just been really interesting to see how she would have navigated that and how she would have come out on the other side.
Yeah.
Now in this moment where obviously, you know, we've never been more aware of feminism and equality. And
I know. And I mean, and we're in a post, like, canceled too. R. Kelly moment. Yeah, I feel like that. I mean.
And P. Diddy. I mean, yeah. We're seeing this all over again. He's our new R. Kelly.
Yeah. You know?
A little bit of a switcheroo, change of subject. I find it really interesting how Tinashe now has the song of the summer.
I know.
After being so quiet for so long. And then we revisit her in this profile. I hate to say it. We've done it again.
The J-Lo profile, and then the week later,
us taking
divorce rumors.
Us taking credit for literally everything.
I'm like, we've brought down marriages. We've brought stars back.
Too close to home.
I know.
I'm like, we've got to take a break from this,
I know.
Frankly.
It's not safe.
No, it's not safe. No. A 2011 profile of Tinashe, yeah. Like, give me a break.
I know. I would agree with you.
Okay, thoughts, feelings, emotions coming away from this. Obviously, this is not someone that you can interview.
No, I know. But I wish I could have spent an afternoon with her.
Yeah.
Doing what she actually spends her afternoons doing. Honestly, probably it seems like chilling at home.
Yeah.
She seems like the kind of friend that it's like, you're never doing the whole, like, dinner, drinks. Like,
no.
It's like, come over and we'll sit in silence together.
Yeah, we'll have a background movie on and literally be like scrolling TikTok. Like,
nothing cozier.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, what about you?
Would I want to interview her? I don't know. Coming off the back of this, I don't know. I think I would probably feel frustrated by the fact that she is so withdrawn.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like tough for me because
I would equate it with a personal failure. Mm-hmm. I think I would feel like I'm not good enough, that I can't get anything out of this person.
Yeah.
When in reality, it's totally her prerogative to be as forthcoming as she wants to be.
Yeah.
But I think for that reason, I wouldn't want to interview her. I would want to pedestalize her. I'd want her to just be who she is, yeah, as an icon and idol. There's a lot of people I don't want to meet that I like am such huge fans of, but really have no interest or desire in interviewing or meeting.
Yeah.
It's like, I just like, I don't want to shatter the veneer. I've gone back and forth on Lana Del Rey for that one. I've really gone back and forth. She does seem so, like such a chill hang.
I know. That could go either way.
That could really go either way.
It also, I feel like, really is dependent on the mood that you catch them in. Like,
Totally. Which I don't think we like talk about enough. It's like how varied and nuanced people are from on the day to day.
Yeah. Depending on what's going on in their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. I interviewed someone recently where I told a friend, I was like, oh my God, I loved them. Like that was so much better than I could have imagined. Yeah. And my friend's reply was, really? I heard she's like a fucking bitch. She sucks. Everyone I know like tells me she sucks. Like, mean girl energy.
Oh my God.
And I was just like, wow, I did not get that at all. That was the most down to earth interview I've had in a really long time. Super candid, really chill.
Yeah.
So it really threw me for a loop. I was like, did I read it wrong? Did I not dig deep enough to see what was really going on? Or was it that this person has evolved?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Which, ooh, like, yeah, you know?
And we'll never know.
I said to Chris, if I had dated anyone else, like if I had met another person, mm-hmm, I know for a fact I would be a much worse version of myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, there are just so many different paths to go down.
All the forks in the road.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you for joining us.
Yeah. Just keep trying. Try and try again.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel better than I did going in.
Do you feel uplifted?
I feel left. I feel much less flat.
Yeah, no, I think you're bubbling.
Yeah, it's coming to the surface. And I'm going to get a coffee after this.
Oh, God, beautiful. It's going to be good.
God, get out there.
Have a beautiful day, Argos. Wait, before we leave.
Oh, yeah.
We've just received such an incredible slate of reviews recently.
Yeah.
We are clearly separate from the fucking Romeo and the... in the, what's it called? Romeo and the... movie,
yeah,
that she was in?
I can't even remember.
I can't even remember.
It's gone from my mind.
Something Romeo Kung Fu related.
Yeah.
But we just wanted to read a couple because we are so appreciative, and please indulge us in this like verbal masturbation.
Yeah.
A truly lovely one that said, huge Argo here. I just listened to the Sophie T episode. It had me emotional. I respect so much how you talk about uncomfortable topics and make your space feel like such a community. I'm a 25-year-old girly bumbling around, and I love hearing about the two of your grind and hustle for your dreams. It's the most inspiring. I tell everyone I know to listen. Thank you, Jill.
Oh,
thank you, Jill.
Thank you so much.
Hi, ladies. Just wanted to say this has been my favorite 2023. I don't know if that's a Freudian slip from her. 2023, 2024. Discovery. It came as a recommendation from an old boss. I'm so thankful I gave that very first episode a listen. Your weekly drops are a genuine highlight of my life. I look forward to hearing your insights, not only of the profiles, but life musings. I always gain so much and love listening to you both. You have such a warmth and authenticity about you. Please don't stop ever doing the podcast, from a loyal Aussie listener.
Oh,
so, so cute.
That's the nicest thing in the whole world.
Please keep sending us your thoughts, feelings. I mean, this is so validating and encouraging for us.
Also made me cry both times.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I teared up. Any questions you have? That was so fun to answer.
Yeah.
Thank you for how thoughtful. We just are so appreciative to show up here for you every week. And I'm learning so much. Not only as a writer, like professionally, I think there's so much here, and I'm grateful that we have this commitment to do this. My personal growth has been exponential in the process. So thank you.
I feel the same way.
Love you.
I feel the same way. I've grown as a writer, as a human, as a friend.
Absolutely. I can attest. Okay. Well, love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at uncovergirlpodcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode, Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.